tools of his thundering, whirling current, but thrashing over Achilles' shoulders, raised a killer wave. The tremendous thrust of it slammed against his shield, and he staggered, lost his footing, his arms flung out for a tall, strong elm. He clung, but out it came by the roots, toppling down, ripping away the whole cliff, blocking the stream with a tangled snarl of branches, crashing into it full length, to dam the river bank to bank. Bursting up from a whirlpool, Achilles dashed for the plain, his feet flying in terror, but the great god would not let up, hurling against him, Scamander looming into a murderous breaker dark over him, dead set on stopping the brilliant Achilles' rampage here and thrusting disaster off the struggling Trojan force. But the hero sprang away, far as a hard-flung spear, swooping fast as the black eagle, the fierce marauder, both the strongest and swiftest bird that flies the sky. On he streaked, and the bronze rang out against his chest, clashing grimly. Slipping out from under the wave, he fled with the river rolling on behind him, roaring, huge. As a farmhand runs a ditch from a dark spring, sluicing the gushing stream through plants and gardens, swinging his mattock to knock the clods out down the chute, and the water rushes on, tearing the pebbles loose, and what began as a trickle hits a quick slope, and down it goes, outstripping the man who guides it. So the relentless tide kept overtaking Achilles, yes, for all his speed. Gods are stronger than men. Again and again the brilliant, swift Achilles whirled, trying to stand and fight the river man to man, and see if all the immortal gods who rule the vaulting skies were after him, putting him to rout. Again and again the mighty crest of the river, fed by the rains of Zeus, came battering down his shoulders, down from high above. But Achilles kept on leaping, higher, desperate now, as the river kept on dragging down his knees, lunging under him, cutting the ground from under his legs. Pelides groaned, scanning the arching blank sky. "Father Zeus, to think in all my misery not one god can bring himself to rescue me from this river! Then I'd face any fate, and no god on high, none is to blame so much as my dear mother. How she lied! She beguiled me. She promised me I'd die beneath the walls of the armored Trojans, cut down in blood by Apollo's whipping arrows. I wish Hector had killed me, the best man bred in Troy. The killer a hero then, and a hero too, the man whose corpse he stripped. Now look what a wretched death I'm doomed to suffer, trapped in this monstrous river like some boy, some pig boy swept away, trying to ford a winter torrent in a storm." Quick to his cry, Poseidon and Pallas moved in close, stood at his shoulder now, and taking human form, grasped him hand to hand, spoke bracing words. Poseidon, who shakes the mainland first, to say, "Courage, Achilles! Why such fear? Such terror? Not with a pair like us to urge you on. Gods in arms, sent down with Zeus's blessings, I and Pallas Athena. It's not your fate to be swallowed by a river. He'll subside, and soon you'll see for yourself. But we do have sound advice, if only you will yield. Never rest your hands from the great leveler, war. Not till you pack and cram the Trojan armies tight in the famous walls of Troy, whoever frees your onset. But once you've ripped away Prince Hector's life, back to the ships you go. We give you glory. Seize it in your hands." With that challenge, both went soaring home to the deathless ones on high. But Achilles rampaged on with the god's strong command, driving him down the plain where the river flooded now, an immense, cresting outrush, bursting with burnished gear, and troops of battle dead, men cut down in their prime, floating corpses rolling. But Achilles surged on too, with high hurdling strides, charging against the river, on, breakneck on, and the river could not stop him, not for all its reach and tide race, not with Athena pumping enormous strength deep down Achilles' heart. But the Xanthus River would not slack his fury either. He raged at Achilles all the more. He marshalled up a mountainous ridge of water, roaring out to Simois, "O dear brother, rise! Both of us rush together to halt this mortal's onslaught. At any moment he'll storm King Priam's mighty stronghold down. The Trojans can't stand up to the man in battle. Beat him back, quickly. Deluge all your channels from all your gushing springs. Muster all your torrents. Raise up a tremendous wave, rumbling, booming with timber, boulders crashing. We'll stop this wild man in his tracks, lording it in his power now and raging like some god. Neither his strength nor splendid build can save him, not now, I tell you, nor all that glorious armour. Now, somewhere under our floods, that gear will sink, immersed deep in slime, and I'll roil his body round in sand and gravel, tons of spills of silt. Achaeans will never know where to find his bones. Never collect them now. I'll bury that man so deep in mud and rocks. That's where his grave mound will be piled, and then no need in the world to raise his barrow high when comrades come to give him royal rites." So he vaunted, rearing against Achilles, seething, heaving up in fury, thundering out now in foam and blood and corpses. The blood-red crest of the river, swelled by Zeus, came arching higher, ready to tear Pelides down. But Hera, struck with fear for Achilles, screamed out, dreading he might be swept away by the giant churning river, and quickly cried to the god of fire, her own dear son, "To arms! My child god of the crooked legs! You are the one we'd thought a worthy match for the whirling river Xanthus. Quick, rescue Achilles! Explode in a burst of fire! I'll drive the west and south winds white with clouds, and sweep in from the open seas a tearing gale, to sear the Trojan bodies and gear, and spread your lethal flames. And you make for the Xanthus banks, and burn the trees! Hurl the stream itself into conflagration! Not for a moment let him turn you back with his winning words or threats. Never abate your fury, not till I loose my shout. Then halt your withering fire." Hera's command, and Hephaestus launched his grim, inhuman blaze. First he shot into flames and burned the plain, ignited hordes of corpses, squads Achilles slaughtered. He scorched the whole plain, and the shining river shrank. Hard as the autumn north wind hits a levelled field just drenched in a downpour, quickly dries it off, and the farmer is glad and starts to till his soil. So the whole plain was parched, and the god of fire devoured all the dead. Then, blazing in all his glory, veered for the river. An inferno. The elms burned, the willows and tamarisks burned, and the lotus burned, and the galingale, and reeds, and rushes, all that flourished along the running river's lush banks. And the eels writhed, and fish in the whirlpools leapt high, breaking the surface left and right, in a sheen of fire, gasping under the master smith Hephaestus's blast. And now the river's strength was burning out. He panted the god's name.
"Hephaestus, stop! Not a single god can stand against you. No, not I. Can't fight such fire, such fury. Hold your attack. Stop! Brilliant Achilles can drive them out of Ilium now. What's this war to me? Why should I help Troy?"
He screamed in flames, his clear currents bubbling up like a cauldron, whipped by crackling fire as it melts down the lard of a fat swine, splattering up around the rim, dry logs blazing under it, lashing it to the boil. So the river burned, his clear currents seethed, and lost all will to flow. He stopped, overwhelmed by the torrid blast of the master craftsman, god of fire. And Xanthus cried to Hera, pouring out his heart in a flood of supplication,
"O Hera, why? Why does your son attack me, whip my waters more than all the others? Why? What have I done to you? Nothing beside those other powers, all who rush to defend the Trojan armies. Oh, I'll stop, if that is your command.
but let your son stop too. I'll swear what's more, never to drive the fatal day away from the Trojans, not even when all Troy burns in the ramping flames, when the warring sons of Achaea burn her down. And Hera heard him. The radiant white-armed goddess quickly cried to the god of fire, her own dear son,
Hephaestus, stop! Stop, my glorious, blazing boy! It's not right to batter another deathless god, not for the sake of these mortals.
She ceased, and the god of fire quenched his grim, inhuman blaze, and back in its channel ran the river's glistening tides.
And now, with the strength of Xanthus beaten down, the two gods called off their battle. But Achilles slaughtered on and on, never pausing, killing Trojans and skittish battle teams at once. But there on the god-built heights of Troy stood aged Priam. He saw the monstrous Achilles, and racing on before him, Trojans whipped in headlong flight, all rescue gone. The king cried out, Spread the great gates wide, all hands now, till our routed troops can straggle back to Troy. Achilles swarms over them. They're stampeding. A terrible mauling's coming. I can see it now. And now Apollo disguised himself as a Trojan warrior. He stood in Achilles' path, and Achilles sprang in chase. All the while, the rest of the Trojans fled en masse, thrilled to reach the ramparts, crowding, swarming in, no daring left to remain outside the city walls.
So all through Troy, the men who had fled like panicked fawns were wiping off their sweat, drinking away their thirst, leaning along the city's massive ramparts now, while Achaean troops, sloping shields to shoulders, closed against the walls. But there stood Hector, shackled fast by his deadly fate, holding his ground, exposed in front of Troy and the Scaean gates. And now Apollo turned to taunt Achilles. Why are you chasing me? Why waste your speed, son of Peleus? You, a mortal, and I, a deathless god. You still don't know that I'm immortal, do you? Straining to catch me in your fury. Have you forgotten? There's a war to fight with the Trojans, you stampeded. Look, they're packed inside their city walls, but you've slipped away out here. You can't kill me. I can never die. It's not my fate. Enraged at that, Achilles shouted in mid-stride, You've blocked my way, you distant deadly archer, deadliest god of all. You made me swerve away from the rampart there. Else what a mighty Trojan army had gnawed the dust before they could ever straggle through their gates. Now you've robbed me of great glory, saved their lives with all your deathless ease. Nothing for you to fear, no punishment to come. Oh, I'd pay you back if only I had the power at my command. No more words. He dashed toward the city, heart racing for some great exploit, rushing on like a champion stallion drawing a chariot full tilt, sweeping across the plain in easy, tearing strides. So Achilles hurtled on, driving legs and knees. And old King Priam was first to see him coming, surging over the plain, blazing like the star that rears at harvest, flaming up in its brilliance, far outshining the countless stars in the night sky, that star they call Orion's Dog, brightest of all, but a fatal sign emblazoned on the heavens, it brings such killing fever down on wretched men. So the bronze flared on his chest as on he raced, and the old man moaned, flinging both hands high, beating his head and groaning deep. He called, begging his dear son who stood before the gates, unshakable, furious to fight Achilles to the death. The old man cried pitifully, hands reaching out to him.
Oh, Hector, don't just stand there, don't, dear child, waiting that man's attack, alone. Cut off from friends. You'll meet your doom at once,
beaten down by Achilles, so much stronger than you, that hard, headlong man. Oh, if only the gods loved him as much as I do, dogs and vultures would eat his fallen corpse at once. With what a load of misery lifted from my spirit, that man who robbed me of many sons, brave boys, cutting them down or selling them off as slaves, shipped to islands half the world away. Even now, there are two, Lycaon and Polydorus. I cannot find them among the soldiers crowding Troy. Those sons Laertho he bore me, Laertho he, queen of women. But if they are still alive in the enemy's camp, then we'll ransom them back with bronze and gold. We have hordes inside the walls. The rich dowry, old and famous Altes, presented with his daughter. But if they're dead already, gone to the house of death, what grief to their mother's heart and mine! We gave them life. For the rest of Troy, though, just a moment's grief, unless you too are battered down by Achilles. Back! Come back inside the walls, my boy! Rescue the men of Troy and the Trojan women! Don't hand the great glory to Peleus' son, bereft of your own sweet life yourself. Pity me, too, still in my senses true, but a harrowed, broken man, marked out by doom, past the threshold of old age. And father's use will waste me with a hideous fate, and after I've lived to look on so much horror, my sons laid low, my daughters dragged away, and the treasure chambers looted, helpless babies hurled to the earth in the red barbarity of war, my sons' wives hauled off by the Argives' bloody hands, and I, last of all, the dogs before my doors will eat me raw. Once some enemy brings me down with his sharp bronze sword, or spits me with a spear, wrenching the life out of my body. Yes, the very dogs I bred in my own halls, to share my table, guard my gates. Mad, rabid at heart, they'll lap their master's blood and loll before my doors. Oh, for a young man, all looks fine and noble if he goes down in war. Hacked to pieces under a slashing bronze blade, he lies there, dead. But whatever death lays bare, all wounds are marks of glory. When an old man's killed, and the dogs go at the grey head and the grey beard and mutilate the genitals, that is the cruelest sight in all our wretched lives.
So the old man groaned, and seizing his grey hair, tore it out by the roots. But he could not shake the fixed resolve of Hector. And his mother wailed now, standing beside Priam, weeping freely, loosing her robes with one hand, and holding out her bare breast with the other, her words pouring forth in a flight of grief and tears.
"Hector, my child, look, have some respect for this. Pity your mother, too. If I ever gave you the breast to soothe your troubles, remember it now, dear boy. Beat back that savage man from safe inside the walls. Don't go forth, a champion pitted against him, merciless, brutal man. If he kills you now, how can I ever mourn you on your deathbed? Dear branch in bloom, dear child I brought to birth, neither I nor your wife, that warm, generous woman, now far beyond our reach, now by the Argive ships, the rushing dogs will tear you, bolt your flesh.
So they wept, the two of them crying out to their dear son, both pleading time and again, but they could not shake the fixed resolve of Hector. No, he waited Achilles, coming on, gigantic in power. As a snake in the hills, guarding his hole, awaits a man, bloated with poison, deadly hatred seething inside him, glances flashing fire as he coils round his lair, so Hector, nursing his quenchless fury, gave no ground, leaning his burnished shield against a jutting wall. But harried still, He probed his own brave heart. No way out. If I slip inside the gates and walls, Polydamas will be the first to heap disgrace on me. He was the one who urged me to lead our Trojans back to Ilium. Just last night, the disastrous night, Achilles rose in arms like a god. But did I give way? Not at all. And how much better it would have been. Now, my army's ruined, thanks to my own reckless pride. I would die of shame to face the men of Troy, and the Trojan women, trailing their long robes. Someone less of a man than I will say, "Our Hector, staking all on his own strength, he destroyed his army." So they will mutter. So now, better by far for me to stand up to Achilles, kill him, come home alive, or die at his hands in glory, out before the walls. But wait. What if I put down my studded shield and heavy helmet, prop my spear on the rampart, and go forth, just as I am, to meet Achilles? Noble Prince Achilles! Why, I could promise to give back Helen. Yes. And all her treasures with her, all those riches Paris once hauled home to Troy in the hollow ships. And they were the cause of all our endless fighting. Yes. Yes! Return it all to the sons of Atreus now to haul away. And then, at the same time, divide the rest with all the Argives, all the city holds, and then I'd take an oath for the Trojan royal council that we will hide nothing. Share and share alike the halls our handsome citadel stores within its depths, and... But why debate, my friend? Why thrash things out? I must not go and implore him. He'll show no mercy, no respect for me, my rights. He'll cut me down straight off, stripped of defences like a woman once I have loosed the armour off my body. No way to parley with that man, not now. Not from behind some oak or rock to whisper, like a boy and a young girl, lovers' secrets a boy and girl might whisper to each other. Better to clash in battle, now, at once. See which fighters use awards the glory. So he wavered, waiting there. But Achilles was closing on him now, like the god of war, the fighter's helmet flashing. Over his right shoulder, shaking the Pelian ash spear, that terror. And the bronze around his body flared like a raging fire, or the rising, blazing sun. Hector looked up, saw him, started to tremble, nerve gone. He could hold his ground no longer. He left the gates behind, and away he fled in fear. And Achilles went for him, fast, sure of his speed, as the wild mountain hawk, the quickest thing on wings, launching smoothly, swooping down on a cringing dove, and the dove flits out from under, the hawk screaming over the quarry, plunging over and over, his fury driving him down to beak and tear his kill. So... Achilles flew at him, breakneck on in fury, with Hector fleeing along the walls of Troy fast as his legs would go. On and on they raced, passing the lookout point, passing the wild fig tree tossed by the wind. Always out from under the ramparts, down the wagon trail they careered, until they reached the clear running springs, where whirling Scamander rises up from its double wellsprings, bubbling strong. And one runs hot, and the steam goes up around it, drifting thick as if fire burned at its core. But the other, even in summer, gushes cold, as hail or freezing snow or water chilled to ice. And here, close to the springs, lie washing pools, scooped out in the hollow rocks, and broad and smooth, where the wives of Troy and all their lovely daughters would wash their glistening robes in the old days, the days of peace before the sons of Achaea came. Past these they raced, one escaping, one in pursuit. And the one who fled was great, but the one pursuing greater. Even greater, their pace mounting in speed, since both men strove not for a sacrificial beast or oxhide trophy. Prizes runners fight for, no. They raced for the life of Hector, breaker of horses.
like powerful stallions sweeping round the post for trophies, galloping full-stretched with some fine prize at stake, a tripod, say, or woman offered up at funeral games for some brave hero fallen. So the two of them whirled 3 times round the city of Priam, sprinting at top speed while all the gods gazed down. And the father of men and gods broke forth among them now.
"Unbearable! A man I love, hunted round his own city walls, and right before my eyes. My heart grieves for Hector. Hector, who burned so many oxen in my honour, rich cuts, now on the rugged crests of Ida, now on Ilium's heights. But now, look, brilliant Achilles courses him round the city of Priam in all his savage, lethal speed. Come, you immortals, think this through. Decide. Either we pluck the man from death and save his life, or strike him down at last, here at Achilles' hands, for all his fighting heart."
But immortal Athena, her grey eyes wide, protested strongly. "Father, Lord of the Lightning, King of the Black Cloud, what are you saying? A man? A mere mortal? His doom sealed long ago? You'd set him free from all the pains of death? Do as you please, but none of the deathless gods will ever praise you." And Zeus, who marshals the thunderheads, replied,
"Courage, Athena, third-born of the gods, dear child. Nothing I said was meant in earnest, trust me. I mean you all the goodwill in the world. Go. Do as your own impulse bids you. Hold back no more."
So he launched Athena, already poised for action, down the goddess swept from Olympus's craggy peaks. And swift Achilles kept on coursing Hector, non-stop, as a hound in the mountains starts a fawn from its lair, hunting him down the gorges, down the narrow glens, and the fawn goes to ground, hiding deep in brush. But the hound comes racing fast, nosing him out until he lands his kill. So Hector could never throw Achilles off his trail, the swift racer Achilles. Time and again he'd make a dash for the Dardan gates, trying to rush beneath the rock-built ramparts, hoping men on the heights might save him, somehow raining spears. But time and again Achilles would intercept him quickly, heading him off, forcing him out across the plain, and always sprinting along the city side himself. Endless as in a dream, when a man can't catch another fleeing on ahead, and he can never escape nor his rival overtake him, so the one could never run the other down in his speed, nor the other spring away. And how could Hector have fled the fates of death so long? How, unless one last time, one final time, Apollo had swept in close beside him, driving strength in his legs and knees to race the wind? And brilliant Achilles shook his head at the armies, never letting them hurl their sharp spears at Hector. Someone might snatch the glory. Achilles, come in second. But once they reached the springs for the 4th time, then Father Zeus held out his sacred golden scales. In them he placed 2 fates of death that lays men low, one for Achilles, one for Hector, breaker of horses. And gripping the beam mid-haft, the father raised it high, and down went Hector's day of doom, dragging him down to the strong house of death. And god Apollo left him. Athena rushed to Achilles, her bright eyes gleaming, standing shoulder to shoulder, winging orders now.
"At last our hopes run high, my brilliant Achilles. Father Zeus must love you. We'll sweep great glory back to Achaea's fleet. We'll kill this Hector, mad as he is for battle. No way for him to escape us now, no longer. Not even if Phoebus, the distant deadly archer, goes through torments, pleading for Hector's life, grovelling over and over before our storming father Zeus. But you hold your ground and catch your breath, while I run Hector down and persuade the man to fight you face to face."
So Athena commanded, and he obeyed, rejoicing at heart.
Achilles stopped, leaning against his ashen spear shaft, barbed in bronze. And Athena left him there, caught up with Hector at once, and taking the build and vibrant voice of Deiphobus, stood shoulder to shoulder with him, winging orders. "Dear brother, how brutally swift Achilles hunts you, coursing you round the city of Priam in all his lethal speed. Come, let us stand our ground together. Beat him back." "Deiphobus," Hector, his helmet flashing, called out to her, "dearest of all my brothers, all these warring years, of all the sons that Priam and Hecuba produced, now I am determined to praise you all the more, you who dared, seeing me in these straits, to venture out from the walls, all for my sake, while the others stay inside and cling to safety." The goddess answered quickly, her eyes blazing, "True, dear brother, how your father and mother both implored me time and again, clutching my knees, and the comrades round me begging me to stay. Such was the fear that broke them, man for man, but the heart within me broke with grief for you. Now, headlong on, and fight! No let-up, no lance spared. So now we'll see if Achilles kills us both and hauls our bloody armour back to the beak ships, or he goes down in pain beneath your spear." Athena, luring him on with all her immortal cunning. And now at last, as the two came closing for the kill, it was tall Hector, helmet flashing, who led off. "No more running from you in fear, Achilles. Not as before. 3 times I fled around the great city of Priam. I lacked courage then to stand your onslaught. Now, my spirit stirs me to meet you face to face. Now, kill or be killed. Come, we'll swear to the gods, the highest witnesses. The gods will oversee our binding pacts. I swear I will never mutilate you, merciless as you are, if Zeus allows me to last it out and tear your life away. But once I've stripped your glorious armor, Achilles, I will give your body back to your loyal comrades. Swear you'll do the same." A swift, dark glance, and the headstrong runner answered, "Hector, stop. You unforgivable. You don't talk to me of pacts. There are no binding oaths between men and lions. Wolves and lambs can enjoy no meeting of the minds. They are all bent on hating each other to the death. So with you and me. No love between us. No truce till one or the other falls and gluts with blood Ares, who hacks at men behind his rawhide shield. Come. Call up whatever courage you can muster, life or death. Now prove yourself a spearman, a daring man of war. No more escape for you. Athena will kill you with my spear in just a moment. Now you'll pay at a stroke for all my comrades' grief, all you killed in the fury of your spear." With that, shaft poised, he hurled, and his spear's long shadow flew. But seeing it coming, glorious Hector ducked away, crouching down, watching the bronze tip fly past and stab the earth. But Athena snatched it up and passed it back to Achilles, and Hector, the gallant captain, never saw her. He sounded out a challenge to Peleus's princely son. "You missed! Look! The great godlike Achilles! So you knew nothing at all from Zeus about my death, and yet how sure you were! All bluff! Cunning with words, that's all you are. Trying to make me fear you, lose my nerve, forget my fighting strength. Well, you'll never plant your lance in my back as I flee you in fear. Plunge it through my chest as I come charging in, if a god gives you the chance. But now, it's for you to dodge my brazen spear. I wish you'd bury it in your body to the hilt. How much lighter the war would be for Trojans then, if you, their greatest scourge, were dead and gone." Shaft poised, he hurled, and his spear's long shadow flew, and it struck Achilles' shield, a dead centre hit, but off and away it glanced, and Hector seethed. His hurtling spear, his whole arm's power poured in a wasted shot. He stood there, cast down. He had no spear in reserve. So Hector shouted out to Deiphobus, bearing his white shield. With a ringing shout he called for a heavy lance. But the man was nowhere near him. Vanished. Yes, and Hector knew the truth in his heart, and the fighter cried aloud. My time has come. At last the gods have called me down to death. I thought he was at my side, the hero Deiphobus. He's safe inside the walls. Athena's tricked me blind. And now death, grim death, is looming up beside me, no longer far away. No way to escape it now. This was their pleasure after all, sealed long ago. Zeus, and the son of Zeus, the distant deadly archer. Though often before now they rushed to my defense. So now I meet my doom. Well, let me die, but not without struggle, not without glory, no, in some great clash of arms that even men to come will hear of down the years. And on that resolve he drew the whetted sword that hung at his side, tempered, massive, and gathering all his force, he swooped like a soaring eagle, launching down from the dark clouds to earth to snatch some helpless lamb or trembling hare. So Hector swooped now, swinging his whetted sword, and Achilles charged too, bursting with rage, barbaric, guarding his chest with a well-wrought blazoned shield, head tossing his gleaming helmet, four horns strong, and the golden plume shook that the god of fire drove in, bristling thick along its ridge. Bright as that star amid the stars in the night sky, star of the evening, brightest star that rides the heavens, so fire flashed from the sharp point of the spear Achilles brandished high in his right hand, bent on Hector's death, scanning his splendid body, where to pierce it best. The rest of his flesh seemed all encased in armor, burnished, brazen. Achilles' armor, that Hector stripped from strong Patroclus when he killed him. True. But one spot lay exposed, where collarbones lift the neckbone off the shoulders, the open throat, where the end of life comes quickest. There, as Hector charged in fury, brilliant Achilles drove his spear, and the point went stabbing clean through the tender neck. But the heavy bronze weapon failed to slash the windpipe. Hector could still gasp out some words, some last reply. He crashed in the dust. Godlike Achilles gloried over him. Hector, surely you thought when you stripped Patroclus's armor that you would be safe. Never a fear of me, far from the fighting as I was. You fool. Left behind there, down by the beaked ships, his great avenger waited. A greater man by far. That man was I, and I smashed your strength. And you? The dogs and birds will maul you, shame your corpse, while Achaeans bury my dear friend in glory. Struggling for breath, Hector, his helmet flashing, said, I beg you by your life, your parents, don't let the dogs devour me by the Argive ships. Wait, take the princely ransom of bronze and gold, the gifts my father and noble mother will give you, but give my body to friends to carry home again, so Trojan men and Trojan women can do me honor with fitting rites of fire once I am dead. Staring grimly, the proud runner Achilles answered, Beg no more, you fawning dog. Begging me by my parents? Would to God my rage, my fury would drive me now to hack your flesh away and eat you raw. Such agonies you have caused me. Ransom? No man alive could keep the dog packs off you, not if they haul in 10, 20 times that ransom, and pile it here before me, and promise fortunes more. No,
Not even if Dardan Priam should offer to weigh out your bulk in gold. Not even then will your noble mother lay you on your deathbed, mourn the son she bore. The dogs and birds will rend you blood and bone.
At the point of death, Hector, his helmet flashing, said, I know you well. I see my fate before me. Never a chance that I could win you over. Iron inside your chest, that heart of yours. But now beware, or my curse will draw God's wrath upon your head. That day when Paris and Lord Apollo, for all your fighting heart, destroy you at the Scaean gates. Death cut him short. The end closed in around him. Flying free of his limbs, his soul went winging down to the house of death, wailing his fate, leaving his manhood far behind, his young and supple strength. But brilliant Achilles taunted Hector's body, dead as he was. Die! Die! For my own death I'll meet it freely, whenever Zeus and the other deathless gods would like to bring it on. With that, he wrenched his bronze spear from the corpse, laid it aside, and ripped the bloody armor off the back. And the other sons of Achaea, running up around him, crowded closer, all of them gazing wonderstruck at the build and marvellous lithe beauty of Hector. And not a man came forward who did not stab his body, glancing toward a comrade, laughing.
Ha! Look here! How much softer he is to handle now, this Hector, than when he gutted our ships with roaring fire!
Standing over him, so they'd gloat and stab his body. But once he had stripped the corpse, the proud runner Achilles took his stand in the midst of all the Argive troops, and urged them on with a flight of winging orders.
Friends, lords of the Argives, O my captains, now that the gods have let me kill this man who caused us agonies, loss on crushing loss, more than the rest of all their men combined, come, let us ring their walls in armour, test them, see what recourse the Trojans still may have in mind. Will they abandon the city heights with this man fallen? Or brace for a last dying stand, though Hector's gone? But wait. What am I saying? Why this deep debate? Down by the ships a body lies, unwept, unburied. Patroclus. I will never forget him. Not as long as I'm still among the living, and my springing knees will lift and drive me on. Though the dead forget their dead in the house of death, I will remember even there, my dear companion. Now come, you sons of Achaea, raise a song of triumph. Down to the ships we march, and bear this corpse on high. We have won ourselves great glory. We have brought magnificent Hector down, that man the Trojans glorified in their city like a god.
So he triumphed. And now he was bent on outrage, on shaming noble Hector. Piercing the tendons, ankle to heel, behind both feet, he knotted straps of rawhide through them both, lashed them to his chariot, left the head to drag, and mounting the car, hoisting the famous arms aboard, he whipped his team to a run, and breakneck on they flew, holding nothing back. And a thick cloud of dust rose up from the man they dragged, his dark hair swirling round that head so handsome once, all tumbled low in the dust, since Zeus had given him over to his enemies now, to be defiled in the land of his own fathers. So his whole head was dragged down in the dust, and now his mother began to tear her hair. She flung her shining veil to the ground, and raised a high, shattering scream, looking down at her son. Pitifully his loving father groaned, and round the king his people cried with grief, and wailing seized the city, for all the world as if all Troy were torched and smouldering down from the looming brows of the citadel to her roots. Priam's people could hardly hold the old man back. Frantic, mad to go rushing out the Dardan gates, he begged them all, grovelling in the filth, crying out to them, calling each man by name.
"Let go, my friends!
Much as you care for me, let me hurry out of the city, make my way, all on my own, to Achaea's waiting ships. I must implore that terrible, violent man. Perhaps, who knows, he may respect my age, may pity an old man. He has a father, too, as old as I am. Peleus sired him once. Peleus reared him to be the scourge of Troy, but most of all to me. He made my life a hell. So many sons he slaughtered, just coming into bloom. But grieving for all the rest, one breaks my heart the most, and stabbing grief for him will take me down to death. My Hector, would to God he had perished in my arms. Then his mother who bore him, oh, so doomed, she and I could glut ourselves with grief.
So the voice of the king rang out in tears. The citizens wailed in answer, and noble Hecuba led the wives of Troy in a throbbing chant of sorrow.
O, my child, my desolation, how can I go on living? What agonies must I suffer now, now you are dead and gone? You were my pride throughout the city, night and day, a blessing to us all, the men and women of Troy. Throughout the city they saluted you like a god. You were their greatest glory while you lived. Now death and fate have seized you, dragged you down.
Her voice rang out in tears, but the wife of Hector had not heard a thing. No messenger brought the truth of how her husband made his stand outside the gates. She was weaving at her loom, deep in the high halls, working flowered braiding into a dark red folding robe. And she called her well-kempt women through the house to set a large, three-legged cauldron over the fire, so Hector could have his steaming hot bath when he came home from battle. Poor woman. She never dreamed how far he was from bathing, struck down at Achilles' hands by blazing-eyed Athena. But she heard the groans and wails of grief from the rampart now, and her body shook. Her shuttle dropped to the ground. She called out to her lovely waiting women,
"Quickly, two of you follow me. I must see what's happened. That cry, that was Hector's honored mother I heard." My heart's pounding, leaping up in my throat, the knees beneath me paralyzed. Oh, I know it. Something terrible's coming down on Priam's children. Pray God the news will never reach my ears. Yes, but I dread it so. What if great Achilles has cut my Hector off from the city, daring Hector, and driven him out across the plain, and all alone? He may have put an end to that fatal headstrong pride that always seized my Hector, never hanging back with the main force of men, always charging ahead, giving ground to no man in his fury.
So she cried, dashing out of the royal halls like a madwoman, her heart racing hard, her women close behind her. But once she reached the tower where soldiers massed, she stopped on the rampart, looked down, and saw it all. Saw him dragged before the city, stallions galloping, dragging Hector back to Achaea's beaked warships. Ruthless work. The world went black as night before her eyes. She fainted, falling backward, gasping away her life breath. She flung to the winds her glittering headdress, the cap and the coronet, braided band and veil, all the regalia golden Aphrodite gave her once, the day that Hector, helmet a flash in sunlight, led her home to Troy from her father's house, with countless wedding gifts to win her heart. But crowding round her now, her husband's sisters and brothers' wives supported her in their midst, and she, terrified, stunned to the point of death, struggling for breath now and coming back to life, burst out in grief among the Trojan women.
O Hector, I am destroyed. Both born to the same fate after all. You at Troy in the halls of King Priam. I at Thebes, under the timberline of Placos, Eetion's house. He raised me as a child, that man of doom. His daughter just as doomed. Would to God he'd never fathered me.
Now down you go to the house of death, the dark depths of the earth,
and leave me here to waste away in grief,
a widow lost in the royal halls,
and the boy only a baby,
the son we bore together, you and I, so doomed. Hector, what help are you to him, now you are dead? What help is he to you? Think, even if he escapes the wrenching horrors of war against the Argives, pain and labor will plague him all his days to come. Strangers will mark his lands off, stealing his estates. The day that orphans a youngster cuts him off from friends, and he hangs his head low, humiliated in every way, his cheeks stained with tears, and pressed by hunger, the boy goes up to his father's old companions, tugging at one man's cloak, another's tunic. And some will pity him, true, and one will give him a little cup to drink, enough to wet his lips, not quench his thirst. But then some bully, with both his parents living, beats him from the banquet, fists and abuses flying. You, get out! You've got no father feasting with us here! And the boy, sobbing, trails home to his widowed mother. Astyanax. And years ago, propped on his father's knee, he would only eat the marrow, the richest cuts of lamb. And when sleep came on him, and he had quit his play, cradled warm in his nurse's arms, he'd drowse off, snug in a soft bed, his heart brimmed with joy. Now, what suffering! Now he's lost his father. Astyanax, the lord of the city, so the Trojans called him. Because it was you, Hector, you, and you alone, who shielded the gates and the long walls of Troy. But now, by the beaked ships, far from your parents, glistening worms will wriggle through your flesh. Once the dogs have had their fill of your naked corpse, though we have such stores of clothing laid up in the halls, fine things, a joy to the eye, the work of women's hands. Now, by God, I'll burn them all, blazing to the skies. No use to you now. They'll never shroud your body, but they will be your glory, burned by the Trojan men and women in your honour.
Her voice rang out in tears, and the women wailed in answer.
So they grieved at Troy, while Achaea's troops pulled back to their warships, now to prepare the funeral of Patroclus. The chiefs of Achaea piled timber and built a pyre 100 feet in length and breadth, and aloft it laid the corpse with heavy, aching hearts. And the great-hearted Achilles wrapped the corpse with fat from head to foot. He set 2-handled jars of honey and oil against the bier, and then, with wild zeal, hacked to pieces the 12 young Trojan captives. Achilles' mighty heart was erupting now with slaughter. He loosed the iron rage of fire to consume them all, and cried out, "Farewell, Patroclus, even there in the house of death. Here are 12 brave sons of the proud Trojans, all. The fire that feeds on you devours them all. But not Hector, the royal son of Priam. Hector I will never give to the hungry flames. Wild dogs will bolt his flesh." So he threatened. But the dogs were not about to feed on Hector. Aphrodite, daughter of Zeus, beat off the packs, day and night, anointing Hector's body with oil, ambrosial oil of roses, so Achilles could not rip the prince's skin as he dragged him back and forth. When the funeral fires of Patroclus sank low, the armies put them out with glistening wine. Then around the pyre they planted a ring of stone revetments, and piled the loose earth high in a mound about the ring. And now Achilles held funeral games to honor his great comrade. He brought from the ships the trophies for the victors, cauldrons and tripods, stallions, mules and cattle, women, sashed and lovely, and gleaming gray iron. And Achilles presided over a wrestling match, a foot race, a duel in full armor, weight throwing and archery, and finally a javelin contest, in which Achilles declared Agamemnon the victor, even without competing, as a friendly gesture to Achaea's supreme commander.
The games were over now. The gathered armies scattered, each man to his fast ship, and fighters turned their minds to thoughts of food and the sweet warm grip of sleep. But Achilles kept on grieving for his friend, the memory burning on, and all-subduing sleep could not take him, not now. He turned and twisted, side to side. He longed for Patroclus's manhood, his gallant heart. What rough campaigns they'd fought to an end together, what hardships they had suffered, cleaving their way through wars of men and pounding waves at sea. The memories flooded over him, live tears flowing. And now he'd lie on his side, now flat on his back, now face down again. At last he'd leap to his feet, wander in anguish, aimless along the surf, and dawn on dawn, flaming over the sea and shore, would find him pacing. Then he'd yoke his racing team to the chariot harness, lash the corpse of Hector behind the car for dragging, and haul him 3 times round the dead Patroclus's tomb. And then he'd rest again in his tents, and leave the body sprawled, face down in the dust. But Apollo pitied Hector, dead man though he was, and warded all corruption off from Hector's corpse, and round him, head to foot, the great god wrapped the golden shield of storm, so his skin would never rip as Achilles dragged him on. And so he kept on raging, shaming noble Hector. But the gods in bliss looked down and pitied Priam's son. They kept on urging the sharp-eyed giant-killer Hermes to go and steal the body, a plan that pleased them all. But not Hera, Poseidon, or the girl with blazing eyes. They clung to their deathless hate of sacred Troy, Priam and Priam's people, just as they had at first when Paris in all his madness launched the war. He offended Athena and Hera, both goddesses. When they came to his shepherd's fold, he favoured love, who dangled before his eyes the lust that loosed disaster. But now, at the 12th dawn since Hector's death, Lord Apollo rose and addressed the immortal powers. "Hard-hearted you are, you gods. You live for cruelty. Did Hector never burn in your honour thighs of oxen, and flawless, full-grown goats? Now you cannot bring yourselves to save him, even his corpse, so his wife can see him, his mother, and his child, his father Priam, and Priam's people. How they'd rush to burn his body on the pyre and give him royal rites. But murderous Achilles, you gods, you choose to help Achilles. That man without a shred of decency in his heart, his temper can never bend and change. Like some lion going his own barbaric way, giving in to his power, his brute force and wild pride, as down he swoops on the flocks of men to seize his savage feast. Achilles has lost all pity. No shame in the man, shame that does great harm or drives men on to good. No doubt some mortal has suffered a dearer loss than this, a brother born in the same womb, or even a son. He grieves, he weeps, but then his tears are through.